Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stand up and acknowledge your baseball tribal chief. Longtime MLB insider with USA Today, MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM, friend of the program. He is Bob Nightingale. Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Patrick.
I know it's a little earlier in the day for us than usual, so I'm glad that you weren't freaked out when I said middle of the day. You were like, hey, you on drugs? You drinking? You know, what's going on today? But appreciate you taking some time with us, brother.
Enjoyed that more.
Let's
Then they're roughing my happy hour.
See?
Hey, you know, let's start with our local Houston Astros, who have now moved into second best record in the American League, as the Yankees have forgotten how to hit. Been a very strange year for the Astros in that they're getting production from unlikely sources or places they certainly didn't expect it. Jeremy Peña, Jake Myers. They're not getting a production, or at least consistent production, from guys they probably thought they would, like Christian Walker and Yainer Diaz. What is your assessment of the Astros so far, as we're not quite 75 games through the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there for a while, like, I go, man, this could be a rough year. And exactly like you said, for them to do it without their two big boys and without Walker, I'm very impressed by the defense. The defense has been spectacular. So, no, it's a great time for the Astros. And, yeah, the American League's wide open. You know, Detroit's probably the slight favorite, but certainly, you know, they're vulnerable. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is a, you know, since the dynasty has started for the Astros, this might be their most surprising year yet.
Yeah, Bob, so talk about the Tigers, you know, real quick. Because, you know, last night, with the way that things shook out, the Astros kicking the A's ass again, Yankees losing earlier in the day. The Astros have overtaken, at least by a half game, the Yankees for the second-best mark in the AL. They're a handful of games behind the Tigers. We've talked about them with you a number of times this season already. I want to know from you, like, how sustainable do you think this is from the Detroit Tigers this season, what they're doing?
Well, I think it's sustainable. I mean, we saw what they did last year in September. So, you know, they're showing it wasn't a fluke. And anytime you have the pitching they did, they have with particularly with Tarik Skubal, you know, best pitcher on the planet right now. And just a good, solid team. It's not like you can look at anybody in that team like, oh, they're playing way over their head. You know, I think we expect this out of Torkelson to bounce back like he has. You know, not Baez either. But, you know, none of those guys, you can say, oh, this is not sustainable. They're going to fall apart. And I think they're going to be aggressive at the trade deadline. They got, they're well below the luxury tax, and they won under third baseman.
Bob, we talked with you about a week ago when, you know, you had the report that the Astros were looking for pitching, specifically starting pitching, with the amount of injuries that they have had yet again. And in that time, you know, Lance McCullers has gone back on the IL with a sprain in his foot. Saw a report earlier this week, I believe it was, that the Royals may be hitting sell mode very quickly. Could a guy like Seth Lugo or Michael Wacha be hitting the market?
Only if they have a collapse. When that report came out, the Royals jumped all over it and said, that's not true at all. We're in this to win. Hey, you're in the AL Central. You got to be pretty buried not to go for this thing. I would be surprised if they took the white flag. Remember now, they're trying to get a new ballpark too, downtown ballpark. You know, that's why I'd be surprised. I mean, they'd have to really go belly up here for this team to be to trade away guys. You know, but if they did, those would certainly be names.
Bob Nightingale, our guest on Sports Radio 610. I don't know if you happen to see the piece earlier this week in The Athletic. It took, you know, historical statistical trends. I think they went back as far as 1988 and they looked at all of the things, all of the boxes that, you know, eventual World Series winners checked. And, you know, you could talk about anything from war to leading the league in batting average or whip or whatever, all these things. And they came up with, you know, 25 out of the last 26 champions checked all of these boxes. Here are the five teams that check all of those boxes to date. And at the time, it was like 71, 72 games through the season. Astros are certainly one of them. Bob, curious from you, if there's one thing that you don't believe is sustainable on this Astros ball club right now, what do you think it would be?
Yeah, I don't know if there's you know, one that's not sustainable. You know, it's not like this guy's playing, someone's playing way over their head. Like, okay, he can't do this. You know, I don't care whether it's a you know, Dubon or Paredes. You know, hey, the Astros made that trade. They thought Paredes would do this. This isn't surprising them at all. So you know, hey, the bullpen. You know, you expect Josh Hader to do this. Maybe a little surprised by the middle and setup guys. So, no, I don't know if there's you know, one thing you can point that, oh, this guy's playing so far over his head, it just can't keep up.
Bob, Cam Smith got off to a tough start, you know, after like the first month of the season. Looked like he was very overmatched. You know, we had a conversation about, you know, they're getting to that point where he's going to have to show you something or they've got to consider sending him down. It seemed like right about that point, well, Cam Smith started to figure it out, and he's, you know, hitting .310 over his last like month or so.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from Cam Smith, and what do you think about the season he's had after that slow start, and now seeming to pick it up and look a lot more well adjusted over the last 30 days?
Well, very impressed. Just for such a young guy with hardly any you know, experience above AA. So now it. I mean, he's only going to get better. I think, you know, whatever they get from him this year is just a, you know, it is extra. I don't think they were expecting much. I think they were hoping in spring training, okay, hopefully he comes up and, you know, August or September can help us out. I don't think there's any expectation that, okay, he's going to be the opening day right fielder. So, no, I think he's just going to get better and better. So, you know, even if he struggles, at least he's, you know, getting major experience. So I think everything's just a real positive because he's just scratching the surface on his potential.
Yeah, we see a lot of potential with Cam Smith. And you've been asked about, talked about, written about over the years some rookies that have popped, that have shown the propensity to be able to, like, you know, quickly learn the game of chess over checkers early in their big league careers. Cam Smith has not even played 100 professional baseball games yet. And I think a lot of Astro fans in particular, you know, can see the forest through the trees with him and are anticipating a really bright and impressive future. Is there a rookie that you can compare Cam Smith to in terms of like the performance, a guy that's being asked to play a new position, showing the ability to kind of make adjustments, you know, albeit pretty quickly at the plate, and produce the way that he has?
Well, I mean, he's not as good as Jackson Merrill. If I just go back to last year, Jackson Merrill had never played center field in his life, and they threw him in that position in spring training to see what he could do, and he probably should have won Rookie of the Year. He finished second. But, yeah, he's a good comparison. And Merrill was an unbelievable year. I mean, you know, much better than what Cam Smith is doing. But something like that, you know, you see some of these young guys just get thrown in. You know, look what the Angels are doing. I think they have, you know, five guys now in their top of draft classes and all less than 100 games of minor league experience, and they're in the big leagues. So we're seeing it more and more. Like, hey, why waste this time in the minor leagues when you can have them up right now? So, but I would think you know, a Jackson Merrill would be, you know, someone for him to look up to as far as, you know, I got to look how good this guy is. And he's never even played the position, and he's doing elite level.
Yeah, Bob, one of the guys who was expected to be traded during the season this year was Sandy Alcantara, who was coming back from surgery, and he got off to just an absolutely abysmal start. I mean, his ERA had been up around 8 just a matter of like weeks ago. But his last three starts, he's gone 17 total innings and only allowed four runs, looking not quite like, you know, the Cy Young candidate he once was, but a lot closer to that. What's the latest on Sandy Alcantara? Teams looking at him, Marlins looking to move him.
Well, I mean, every time he starts, I think trade interest, you know, starts to increase. You know, he just, you know, coming off the Tommy John, it was a slow start, probably expect a slow start. And now he's starting to look more like himself in the last three or four starts. I mean, they're in a good position where they can say, you know what, we're going to have a high price tag. If you don't want to meet it, fine, we still got him for two more years. So it's not like they have to trade him or lose him. And that's a big thing, too, for teams. It's like you're going to, you know, have to give up something that hurts because you got him for 2.5 years. As good as he is now, you know, once he's fully healthy and you know, get his rhythm back, there's no reason why he won't be, you know, much better next year and the year after.
Patrick keeps angling for the Astros to trade for a pitcher. I might have missed you actually saying this earlier in the interview, but, I mean, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, here's Ryan Gusto, here's Colton Gordon, here's Brandon Walter. We just saw George Costanza, a.k.a. Jason Alexander, throw a pretty good ball game for the Astros here recently. Luis Garcia, Christian Javier may be back at some point later in the year. Do you think the Astros are more likely looking at, hey, in a couple of months' time, I know we've been banged up with injuries and more injuries are going to happen, but boy, we could be looking at an embarrassment of riches as far as the starting rotation goes and the options that we have.
I mean, you can never have enough. I mean, the Dodgers thought they had enough, too, and you know, look what's happened with them. They got like three healthy starters. The thing is, too, with the Astros is you're not just looking for a pitcher to eat up innings. You're looking for a pitcher that's going to be one of the top three guys to pitch in the postseason. You know, all you do is look at last year, when they got beat by the Tigers, you know, with Terry Skubal starting. So that's what you're looking for is, okay, if you make a trade, you want to be a frontline guy, just not a guy who, you know, they're hoping can, pitch in the postseason. But, you know, grabbing a guy that you think's got potential to dominate in the postseason.
Bobby, you surprised how long it's taking Yordan Alvarez to get back to being healthy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. I don't, you know, exactly what happened there. You know, whether how come no one saw the broken bone? How did that happen? That sort of thing. But that's, you know, great sign for the in the Astros. The fact that they're sitting in first place and starting to pull away a little bit. You know, with him being gone. You know, so once he's back, you know, he can be fresh. They can, you know, rest him from time to time. And you know, you're not having him start up month of October, you know, just tired from the wear and tear. So no, that's really encouraging.
Bob Nightingale, our guest on Sports Radio 610, MLB Insider, our Odyssey Baseball Insider. You can catch his work a lot of places, USA Today especially. Bob, just in time, about 23 minutes away from happy hour beginning somewhere near you. Go enjoy the cranberry and vodka, and we appreciate your time as always, of course.
Yeah, a little early out here. I'm 2 hours behind you guys, so might have to wait just a little bit.
5 o'clock somewhere, Bobby.
Appreciate you, Bob. Right, thanks, brother.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Oh, Bob Nightingale.
I'm not sure I've ever gotten a chuckle out of old Nightingale. I like that. That was a belly laugh.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. We have a lot of fun with Bob Nightingale. All right, coming up next, we'll stick with a little Astro. Stock up, stock down for the Astros via The Athletic, and recant some of the things that Nightingale had to say about them Stros as well. Stay there. It's Area 45 in for the drive.